Okay, guys, what a gorgeous day. We're lifting up Larry today. And Greg's trip, it reminds me of Eugene Peterson's wonderful book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, which is about the Psalms of Ascent, which is of the Israelites on pilgrimage climbing up the hill, climbing up the mount, up into Jerusalem. And as they did that, they chanted psalms of ascent or unity. One of them, 133, is a psalm about, isn't it? It's the oil running down Peter's beard. Isn't it sweet when God's people come together in unity? And so that model or that image is one we want to hear today. And Greg brought us a wonderful summary of this as we're walking in unity today. In one of my books, I wrote about walking in unity, and that's what we're supposed to do, one step at a time, to continue to walk in unity as Christians. We're creations in Christ. We're called to be ambassadors. And in this chapter, it's the body of Christ that can no more be divided. We are one in Christ. He alone is our head. He is the head of the body, and he's giving us gifts, each one of us gifts today, and we're going to be seeing some of those gifts, and we'll can look at others maybe in our groups as we think of how we use that to build unity in the body of Christ. And it's not possible without his love. It's his love that gives us everything we need to be able to get deeper into our own Christian maturity, he's talking about here, and a completeness in the Lord. Last week, Michael brought us that incredible prayer to the Ephesians, which is one of the most beautiful pieces of Scripture, and the blessing, the doxology at the end, which is really a lead-in to this. It seems like it might sit out there like, how does this prayer fit in the middle of this deal? Well, Paul is moving from the first three chapters on doctrine to this next three chapters about application. How do we do this? And so he says, I think I better pray for you guys. Reminding ourselves, as he says in this first verse in the fourth chapter, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you. He's a prisoner for the Lord. He's in chains. We know that. But the chains seem not to stop the word of God, and even the palace guard is getting converted. It's an incredible thing that he's got here. But now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And that's just a beautiful kind of lead-in. So as we read this scripture, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you, I beseech thee, he's pretty serious about this, to live or walk a life worthy of the calling that you've received. What's that calling we've received? We've received through faith. Jesus has given us his life, his sonship, an invitation, a sonship that we've received. We've received his gift by grace, right? Each one of us from Christ. We're transformed by the wisdom, the knowledge of Christ through his Holy Spirit. So how then do we walk in this unity, in the Christian graces he goes into here? And he says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, be bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Those words, or ones like them, are ones that are graces of unity that Paul's used before. And you think of Colossians and 15th chapter, he's got a long list of So we're supposed to be forgiving. We're supposed to put on love and bind ourselves together in perfect unity, and that the peace of God would rule in our hearts. It's kind of a parallel in 12:1 in Romans, that we're being transformed, renewed. And as much as it depends upon us, each of us, we are to be at peace with everyone, he tells us in 12:18. Sometimes that's hard, to be at peace with others. But he is reminding us that through the Spirit that he has given us, to have the bond of peace. And when he says the bond of peace, he's talking about the bond of the peace through the love that I give you through my Holy Spirit. It's like working on, I'm involved in a class called 33. Jesus was 33 years old in ministry, but it's on marriage. And it's a lot of work, marriage. It's very everyday, it's forgiving constantly, and it's seeking together with words like the fruit of the Spirit that he gives us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's what we see here, and that's what he's pushing us towards through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit that he's given us. And so he says that that's the walk in unity, and this is the grace, the words of grace I've given you. And in 4 through 6, he tells us about the grounds of unity, not coffee grounds. And this was part of what Michael was talking about last week. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. You were called, when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father over all, who is in all, through all, and in all. And we know that Jesus holds it all together. And this oneness is built on the spiritual realities that unite all Christians. And we have, he's talking about the body, the larger body, and individual bodies that were churches work together and live out our gifts given to us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. The one hope we have, the riches, the glory of our inheritance in Jesus Christ in heaven eventually, and right now his power working through us so that we can work together. One Lord Jesus who died for us, the one faith that we have, it's the settled body of faith. We may interpret things differently, but key issues, we work together, trusting, and we're contending for the faith, as Jude would say, because we know that departing from that is disunity. Somebody mentioned, and Satan would love to walk in there and continue to push us apart in this world. So we have one baptism, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit, I think he's talking about here, which was placed in us at conversion. The Holy Spirit, and he told us in 5:18, you know, be filled, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's how, on profession of our faith, we took that in, and we continue to live that way, believing in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that's where we find our strength. We have one God and Father over all and through all, the oneness of God overall, who makes us the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we seek him, he lives and works through us. We studied character of God, so many wonderful things like transcendence, his mercy, his immanence, his love for us. We're children of God, and it's by his character we're in the same family. In that same family, are serving the same Father, and we come together through that. To him be the glory, the unity of the church. And we know in Deuteronomy, the Lord our God is one God. It's not the pure doctrine that he's been talking about for several chapters that's producing the unity. It's our sound love, and unsound love will keep us in disunity. So he wants us to speak the truth in love. The speak the truth to each other, to take the word out continually in a loving way that only he can give us. So he's given us gifts of unity. Each one, he says in 7, each one of us grace has been given, the grace through Christ. And there's a controversial 8 through 10 talks about Jesus ascending and descending and how he may have gone into the outer pouch of the earth. Jesus came from heaven where he is on high. He came down to us so that we may know the truth, and the truth would set us free. And he ascended again. And if we could look at the several different ways of this being interpreted, some of which are maybe even a little weird. So we're not going to look at that today. So we're going to move on for looking at when he ascended, you know, he sent the Holy Spirit. I will send a counselor. I will send you one who will teach you all things. And he will give you gifts. And these are the gifts that he has given to each of us. But in this particular passage, we have that it was he, Jesus, who gave us some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare people, all of God's people, for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And he mentions just these special gifted ones who at this time were critical for building the church up so there'd be a firm foundation that could not be broken apart at a time when there was lots of disunity and the Romans and the Jews after the new Christians. And so he gave some to be, we know, to be the original apostles were the ones, of course, who were the witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that they would take that word out and that the prophets would continue to speak it so that we would know they were known as God speakers, and that as proclaimers, along with evangelists, and we have evangelists in this room who Jesus wants all of us to be evangelists in one way or another, but some of us have that special gift. I don't see Lowell here today, but he may be in his, what is his, Jesus Mobile, out at a park somewhere. God Mobile, trying to lead people to bring the good news, the gifts. It's for the edification, for the encouragement of the church, for the foundational ministry of the early church through the Word of God that brings the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the fruit that we have. Some of you may have special gifts that God is using in you. And I think of my wife's gift of mercy, mostly towards me, and hospitality towards others. God has given me a gift of encouragement and comfort for those who are hurting. And as a chaplain, that's the kind of thing that I use. But obviously, the church today needs constant encouragement so that our gifts are united and edify or build up the church in a special way. They're for our common good, right? So we read in this passage, it's fairly straightforward that as we're built up, each member of the body has gifts, and we must be together. It's not the only passage in Scripture that tells us how we must work together, be knit together, and help one another out, that we would be built up, and that all the gifts would bring us a wholeness, gradually growing, to prepare us for works of service. And works of service, so many things that you're doing now, going down to the rescue mission, or going out to visit dear friends like Larry, like Chris gave us. And we continue to pray for Larry that he is strong through this difficult time. He is working through us through the fullness till we reach the fullness of the character of God. That is our sanctification. That's a process of God working on in us until we see him face to face. As we do this, we're, as he describes, we're no longer like infants who are easily tossed around like the waves or Satan being able to mess with us. But we're stable, we're cooperative, we're Christ-like in him, and we can stand, therefore, steadfastly, speaking the truth in love until we grow up, united cooperatively, each part of the body, energizing each other in many ministries, feeding the church, feeding each other, until we reach vital union with Christ. It was Paul's admonition then. It continues to be today that we would be doing so. And so today I want us just to look at, so what does this look like for us? What is unity in the Spirit? How do we use our gifts? What gifts do we have that are helping each of us and together us working as we do here each Saturday and during the week? I hear stories coming back here how many of you are taking your gifts and helping the church, helping others grow in Christ and coming to know him. So as let's break up into our individual groups and have some fun with this. All right. Thanks. Yeah.